Welcome, brave listeners, to Wilhelm Presents Frightening Tales. Please tune in to frighteningtales.com for more scary stories. Today's tale is titled The Lottery of Fate, pulled from the Nether Realm by Mark Wilhelm.
Nothing, I'd been taught, in school or in social settings, could have prepared me for the irrational events that unfold when you encounter a ghost. Nothing prepared me to deal with the fear and panic that inevitably comes with that either. But that's getting ahead of my story. My head was in a fog. I could hardly believe this was it. The culmination of the past 5 years of my life was coming to a climax, and then they called my name. Anthony Cardiff, congratulations on graduating from Ellsmore Central High School. Please come and accept this diploma. Like I said, I was in a fog. The space was filled with cheers, people celebrating, and just so many voices. That was months ago now. I barely remember being out on that field with all my classmates, graduating. Mom and Dad had approved my plan to see a bit of the world before I settled into the next block of years dedicated to hard work and buckling down again. We had sat down and planned my trip together. I'd head to Finland, moving on to Estonia, where I would travel along the coast to Poland and then into the Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, France, and across to the UK, where I'd eventually take a flight back to North America. Because of the length of the journey, I wouldn't be able to travel the entire time with the same group of friends, but I had made arrangements to have sections of my journey accompanied by familiar faces that would make at least that leg of the trip with me before they'd depart back home. My parents were more uneasy about the size of the journey and how long I would be away than the cost of things. I'd worked all through high school to save for college, and when I graduated, my parents told me that they'd been saving since I was born for my post-secondary career, and suggested I use the money I earned for a trip. They were shocked at the grandiose design of my plan, but I had a knack for setting myself to a task and seeing it through. I spent weeks researching places to stay, how to be thrifty, and hostels you could work at to cover your stay. It all seemed like it would work out. I saved all the real pampering for what would be the last leg of the trip in London. Eventually, the day came for me to leave. Packed with a minimal amount of supplies and clothes, I was really heading out to see the world, or at least Europe. The flight to Finland was long and cramped, but without incident. In fact, the first few weeks were amazing. Any roadblocks or bumps along the way just blended into the flavor of the experience. Things didn't turn strange until I stopped in Amsterdam. There was a university that over the summer months turned its empty dorms into a hostel. I'd rented a room which was clean and had simple amenities, a desk, wardrobe, dresser, twin bed, and an area rug with a school crest on it. The showers were down the hall, and the cafeteria had a microwave we could use to cook food. The plan was to spend a week here before departing for the next leg of my trip. Amsterdam had a long history and was full of all kinds of art, culture, and food. I was really looking forward to it. I dropped off a few things I could live without if another resident of the summer lodgings decided to help themselves to my room. The door had a lock, so I wasn't too worried, but always keep your valuables on you, my dad drilled into me. And I did. I locked the door and set off into an evening in Amsterdam. It was late when I returned. I reached for the door and it swung open. I could have sworn I'd locked this. I listened for a moment at the door and not hearing anything, swung the door open to see my dark room. I clicked on a desk lamp and looked around. Nothing had been taken, but the desk chair was moved away from the desk. I stepped back out into the hall and I looked up and down the corridor. All the rooms were shut. Low-level night lighting was in effect and it was deathly quiet, save for the mild white noise industrial ventilation provides. I returned to my room, closed the door, and searched around to make sure no one was hiding in here. I checked my wardrobe, but no one was in there. There was no under the bed. It was all some industrial IKEA-style construction where the bed, desk, and wardrobe were all attached, making up the two far walls opposite the door. I locked the door from the inside, undressed, and went to bed. Some time later, I woke to a click in my room and the sound of fabric moving. Pushing my grogginess aside, I shifted in bed and looked at the door, which was open. My hand flinched, shooting out for the lamp that exploded light into the room. There was nothing, just the steady AC sound. I stared at the door, just barely noticing white fingers retreat around the back of the door. Was someone hiding behind my door waiting for me to approach? You hear about travelers getting robbed while abroad, but I didn't think it would happen to me. Look, I know you're behind the door. Come out and let's just talk about this, I said aloud, sitting on the bed and clutching the pillow like a shield. Do you speak English? Kun yas Engelsprechen? I was said trying to remember my Dutch. There was nothing. No movement. Not a sound. I slowly slid myself off the bed, my eyes glued to the door. One step at a time, I slowly moved closer, my pillow still clutched in my white-knuckled hands. Another step closer to the door. When I managed to free one hand from its grip on the pillow and outstretched it to move the door so I could reveal the source of my horror, I was half tempted to just run at it, smashing the wooden door into whatever was laying in wait behind it, and then make a break for it. My fingertip just reached the door's edge when... Slam! The door flung shut, sending a reverberating echo down the hall outside, and a gust of air in my direction. My heart froze. I felt pinpricks in my hands at the shock of what had just happened. My entire body clenched and locked its muscles tight. I was now completely exposed to whatever was behind the door. I forced my eyes to focus and search the space in the dark, once obfuscated by the wooden surface. But there was nothing there, just the corner of the room
and a waste bin.
Doubt began to swim through my head, but I was confronted with two contrasting thoughts. One, the door was open. And two, did I imagine that hand? Is it possible to be partially crazy? I opened the door to see if any of the other residents were disturbed by the thunderous slam, but the hallway was quiet. I stepped back inside and closed the door, locked it, searched the room again, and after a very long time, fell asleep in the warm glow of that small table lamp. The next day, I got up with a groggy start and headed down to the showers. No one was around, so I put some music on my phone for comfort and company, then let the warm water just flow over me. The cascade was having the opposite effect on me, and its cozy embrace was like the best blanket. I found it difficult to keep my eyes open, so I rested my head on the tile wall in front of me and just breathed. Trying to pull myself out of this tired state, the electronic music I selected wasn't exactly creating a mood of excitement, but more of a chill space that made it difficult for my mind to step out of its sleep state. Then I heard another shower come on in the next stall, and I snapped out of my sleepy cocoon. I turned my music down a bit so as not to monopolize on someone's morning. It didn't take long before a few other showers had started. I was relieved, as I was starting to think I was the only one staying at the school, turned hostile. There was a security in knowing that there were others around. As horrible as it is to think, I can't help but feel that the security comes from the fact that in the lottery of fate, it means if something bad's gonna happen, there's a chance it won't be me. On that warm and fuzzy thought, I turned off the water and wrapped myself in a towel. As I headed back to my room, I heard another shower come on, and then another. I moved to pass the stalls, their curtains all open and the space vacant, save for the warm water that sprayed from the showerhead. Each stall I passed was devoid of an occupant. What is going on? I pressed forward to get out of the shower area, and as I passed each stall, the shower that was on turned off. Till passing the threshold of the room, it was silent. Just the trickle of the residual water going down the drains. That was when I became aware of a soft sobbing. I stood there frozen like a deer in headlights, partially wanting to understand, partially needing to know what would happen next, and partially just dumbfounded or in shock. There were seven stalls on each side, entering the room, which branched into a T-shape at the far end, where there were additional stalls. A long wooden bench ran down the center of this hall, dividing the left and right stalls. From the last shower on the left before the hall ended, a shock of red cut against the otherwise monotonous white-gray tiles and snaked its way through the water along the floor to trickle down the floor drain. I noticed my mouth was open, gaping at what I was seeing. Something was hurt in that last stall. But had I not just witnessed the showerheads on and empty, I might have gone to see what was there. No, I'd help by getting someone else to sort this out. I stepped backwards away from the door, not taking my eyes off the blood that flowed from that stall till I neared the turn in the hall to my room. I pivoted and ran, catching myself a few times as wet feet tend to slip on smooth stone floors. But I passed my room and I headed for the desk I checked in at. Relieved to see another human, I headed to the young woman sitting in the booth who was writing something when she looked at me, and the expression of concern on her face was genuine. Perhaps because I was frantic, or perhaps because I was nearly naked, soaking wet in just a towel, clutching my belongings. "Is everything all right, sir?" she questioned.
No, I think someone's hurt in the showers," I replied.
She picked up a radio and called some numbers into it and then mentioned the showers, to which a voice replied confirmation. She looked at me. "Security is heading there now. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Can you take me there?" she said, stepping out of her booth. She placed a sign on the counter that noted she'd return shortly and grabbed the radio. I didn't want to take her there. I didn't want to ever go back there. But I felt the need to hide my fear, so I just nodded. We headed back down the hall, following the wet footsteps, till that last turn that looked down into the shower area, where I stopped, just pointed. Last stall, I said. There was blood on the floor of the last stall. She turned and followed my finger, walking to the showers. I flinched as the double doors that continued along this hall abruptly opened by a large man in a security uniform. He approached and I just kept pointing. Looking down the hall, the woman was at the shower area entryway and called out, "Hello? Is someone hurt?" The man passed me and headed to the woman. They both began searching the shower area, looking in each stall. "Sir, there is no one here," she said from the showers. "Where did you see the blood?"
"It was the last stall," I said, "on the left."
I walked a few steps closer to look at the floor by the last stall, but I was too far to see clearly. "Is this some kind of sick joke, sir? There is nothing in any of the stalls, and the fact that you picked that stall, sir, this isn't funny," she said, noticeably upset by something. It was like entering a room where people had been arguing and you don't know why. They're just all upset. I looked from her to the man standing there. "Something weird is happening. I heard someone crying and saw a line of blood leaving this stall to the floor drain. The showers were off, then turned on and seemingly on their own turned off again. This sounds crazy, but something's really weird here." The two looked at each other, and then their demeanor changed. The man spoke first.
"I'll finish up here.
Nadia, we'll take you to your room." This was the first good idea of the day, I thought. We returned to my room where I excused myself and dressed. "How long are you planning to stay here?" she asked from the hall.
"Well, the plan was to stay here till Friday and then visit the museum on the way to the train station," I said as I finished dressing. I hope I haven't been too much trouble. I swear, I saw what I described to you, I said, opening the door. She was leaning on the wall across from my doorway. The university opens its doors in the off-season to travelers to offset costs and to help people. My concern now is that you may spread this story and upset the other guests, she said. There is no evidence of anything in the shower room. If another false outburst like this happens, we'll be forced to end your stay with us. We also ask that you refrain from the use of recreational drugs while on the school grounds, regardless of their legality. Drugs? You think I'm on something? Sir, what you're describing could only be the work of an overactive or chemically enhanced mind. Please, don't upset the other guests or we'll be forced to ask to leave. At that point, I really wasn't sure that was a bad idea. But my need to keep the people around me happy kicked in, and I found myself apologizing out of reflex. And with that, she left, heading down the hall. I decided to go and see more of the city. It was why I was here, and frankly, getting out of here wasn't a bad idea. Besides, while out, I could see if there was another place to stay for the next few days. The city's artisans were amazing, and you could see the culture baked into everything the light touched. There was an investment of time here, and you could feel it. I ate at some amazing restaurants and picked up a number of keepsakes for gifts back home. Part of traveling light meant that I needed to find the post office and ship my purchases separately. And in that post office, I found a notice for a hostel with spare rooms. The address wasn't far from the post office. The front facade was inviting and just as nostalgic as the rest of the city. The manager there said that a bed would be available tomorrow after 11 a.m. I told him I'd take it and paid out the rest of the week. Hopefully, I'll get some of my money back from my current lodgings. There must be some kind of fumes or something in there that caused me to think I saw what I saw. I figured that I'd stay out late and then just sleep there for a few hours and be out the next day. And the nightlife in Amsterdam would be more than able to accommodate. It came time to return to my room for the night. And even with a few drinks in me, the dark, quiet grounds were spooky. I passed the front desk that simply housed a sign that said when the attendant would return tomorrow and what the meals would be. I walked down the hall and past the turnoff that leads to the showers. The first sounds I noticed, aside from the AC and my footsteps, was some other guests in the room next to mine. I could hear their conversations inside and some music, which, oddly, was nice. It was normal. Then I made it to my door. I unlocked it and went inside. I locked the door behind me. I gathered my stuff and packed everything to leave as soon as I woke. The creepy walk-in had reinvigorated the fear I was running from all day. I opened the window as much as I could. If there was some kind of chemical in the air, this should mitigate it to some degree. but institution windows don't open all that much so that people can't leap from them. Still, a cool breeze was wafting in intermittently. I think I'll be able to get through this. So I lay down on the bed and just tried to let myself drift into sleep. I'm fuzzy on how much time passed, but I stirred out of my sleep, if I had fallen asleep, by a deep bass beat coming from the room next door. I put on some headphones and turned up my Spotify white noise playlist, the soft fuzz filling my ears. I lay there for a few moments, but those beats just snaked and clawed their presence through to my ears and fought to counter the static. I waited as long as I could and sat up in bed, the light from the tiny side lamp still radiating its protective glow. I looked to the side table and the printed card on it. "If you have any issues, please call." I lifted the phone on the desk and dialed the number. It rang and rang, but no answer. It was probably that empty desk I was calling. So I hung up. I got up and paced my room. This totally sucks. My trip had gone to plan. Everything had been so good. Till now. What time was it? 3:15 a.m. Ugh. Nausea was starting to work into my midsection. Lack of sleep hit me like that. I decided to try the old double knock on the wall. It seemed like a fairly universal sign to keep it down, but it offered no change. I finally thought I'd go knock on the door and ask if they could turn it down. Surely I couldn't be the only one put out by this. I threw on some pants and stepped out into the dark hallway. I crossed the 20 feet to the door next to mine and knocked twice. The loud music could be heard, its distinct bass beats pumping out. I knocked again, but no answer. Who do you have to kill to get some sleep around here? I said under my breath as more of a outburst of frustration. Instantly, the music stopped. The pounding beats replaced by the deafening sound of silence and of my breathing. Click. The door unlatched and hung there, open, just a crack. I'm sorry to be a bother at this late hour. I'm having some difficulty sleeping with the loud music, I said, trying to peek into the dark room through the crack. There was no response, just my breathing and the white noise of the AC. I reached for the door to gently push it in. Slam! My head whipped to look at my door, which had just rocketed shut. Then my peripheral sensed movement and I turned my attention back to the room in front of me, and the door was completely open, where a gray, gaunt, eyeless face of decay was standing inches from me, its jaw unhinged, releasing a terrifying wail. In an action of pure reflex, I struck out at it. The figure burst like a cloud of ash in the air that rushed past me into the hall. Startled, I fell back, frantically looking up to see where the dark cloud had gone. Its shape reformed before me. Dark vapor seemed to fall from it, in the way the air condenses near an open freezer. And it was cold, so cold near it. The decayed form drew itself back to a more solid shape and rose as if standing from a kneeling position. Its figure was feminine in contour, devoid of any color, and moved fluidly and airy as if suspended in the space it was taking up. It cast its gaze at me and hissed.
I pulled frantically to move myself along the floor to my room, trying to get away from the waves of fear that held me down with an invisible weight. Suppressed there on the floor, tears welled up in my eyes. Its form seemed to fade to ashen cloud just below its knees, but it moved as if walking there in the hallway. Its movements seemed labored and violent, snapping to force itself into the next space. Ahead of it, closer, it came. My eyes were transfixed on it as I pulled myself along the floor. Finally, I felt the wood of my door next to me. I fought to get to my knees just to reach the doorknob. Panic coursed through my body. Any sense of motor control was shattered. Years of knowing how to use my limbs interrupted by waves of primal fear. My hands didn't respond when I told them to grasp the handle. Opening the door was more of a mash of strikes and fumbles, but I engaged the door and fell into my room. Breaking sight of the thing returned some of my faculties, and I kicked the door shut, closing it on ashen wisps that had just started to come into view. As the lock clicked, the door began to shake violently. I backed away, tears streaming down my face. I didn't want to die. I screamed at it, "Go away! Leave me alone!" But the door continued to take the barrage of unearthly strikes. Violently, the door was assaulted with such force that the wood could be heard cracking under its duress. I drew my phone and hit redial, trying to connect with anyone at the front desk. A digital greeting came across the phone speaker, telling me that the attendant would return at 7 a.m. the following day, and to please leave a message at the tone. Hello? Please, if someone is monitoring this, my name is Anthony Cardiff. I'm staying in room 831. There's something outside my door trying to get in. Please, please, if anyone is listening to this message, I need help. It's going to get me. I backed away from the door, onto the bed, and pulled anything and everything around me. I just needed to get as much matter between myself and it. My heart was pounding in my chest and my head began to swim, till finally everything faded to black. When I came to again, the pounding at my door remained, bash after bash. "Leave me alone! I'm not coming out!" I screamed. Mr. Cardiff, are you all right, Mr. Cardiff?" came the reply from the hall. Hello?" I replied. "Mr. Cardiff, we're here about the message you left with the front desk. Please open the door, Mr. Cardiff." The room was quiet, and I could hear several voices in the hall. I tried to get my bearings. The room was lighter now. I must have blacked out. Cool gray light was coming in from the window, where the curtains fluttered in a subtle breeze. "Yeah, just let me get to the door," I spoke after things started to sink in. I pushed my makeshift barricade off of me and stepped to the door. Then, with a click, relinquished my defenses. Slowly propping the door open a crack, I looked into the light of the hall, where a team of staff were standing with a look of concern on their faces. As the door opened fully, the outside of the door could be seen shredded to fibers. Large gashes and furrows were torn through its wooden surface. Much of the door was on the floor as it had been shredded by the repetitive attempts by something to get in. "Are you all right, Mr. Cardiff?" a security guard asked. "We saw the state of the door and thought something happened to you." I think I'm okay. I'm just really shaken up by what happened," I replied. "What did happen?" another guard asked. I told them the events that unfolded from the last few days, the things I saw and the thing that nearly got me last night. The woman from the front desk approached from those that had been there gathered in the hall that morning and explained to me a few years ago, a student who was staying in the dorm room next to mine had a lot of difficulty coping with the stress, and she would play her music really loudly to drown out the self-doubt she suffered from. This made her a target from the other residents, always scolding her to turn down the music. She tried headphones for a while, but ultimately she just preferred her stereo cranked. The more stress she felt, the more she blasted her music. The teasing got so bad on top of the stress of school that she finally broke and ended up taking her own life in the showers.
The showers, I said.
The ones where I saw the blood.
That you told me was nothing.
Yeah, we thought you had heard what had happened and were playing a sick prank on us. So, after they teased her that last time, she went to the showers and ended it? I asked.
Yeah, that's right.
Has anyone checked the showers this morning after what happened to me last night?
They looked at one another, and then the woman stood and walked to the end of the hall and looked down the adjoining one to where the showers were. Her hands raised to her mouth in an attempt to contain the shock of what she saw. Those around me gathered themselves and moved to her. Those that looked down the hall had similar reactions. A security guard began talking into his radio, requesting emergency medical. I would end up at Amsterdam Airport at the end of the week. After the police investigation completed and I retold the story several times to several professional people. From what little was shared with me afterwards, it seemed I did win that lottery of fate I mentioned. Another guest staying at the dorms had opened their door to see what was the fuss in the hall and tried to make a run for it when they saw what had been outside my door. They found his body in the showers. He must have suffered. I'm on my way home now. I think I've had enough of seeing the world for a while.
Thank you, brave listeners, for making it this far through another frightening tale. You've been listening to The Lottery of Fate by Mark Wilhelm. I've nearly filled all 26 spots for Season 3, but if you have a scary story, do submit it at frighteningtales.com. Please, tune in again next Friday for another frightening tale, if you're brave enough.